when buyers come to me and they're a little bit nervous about what if the interest rates go up, I sort of go, well, look, you know what? That's the cycle of life. And you've just got to look at this as a long-term proposition rather than be fearful about interest rates rising. Because if you're going to be fearful about interest rates rising, you're actually going to miss the opportunity and wish that you had bought that property.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking, and strategies to elevate your results. For more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier for your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. And to get new episodes of Elevate directly to your inbox, sign up at eliteagent.com/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey everyone, it's Sam here. Today we're joined by an exceptional leader in the real estate industry. Her journey from television journalist to top real estate agent is as inspiring as it is impressive. Along the way, she's faced plenty of personal challenges with remarkable courage, but her commitment to the industry extends beyond professional achievements. She's deeply passionate about supporting and mentoring women in the industry. Currently a shining star at Ray White New Farm and working alongside some of the best in the business, she's just hit elite status again. I'm not sure what else to say other than today will be a great chat with a beautiful human. So welcome to the show, Christine Rudolph.
Thank you, Sam. I'm so grateful to be here.
Well, it's lovely to have you here. And I knew immediately that I had to have you on the podcast when I met you in Sydney last year before Christmas, when I was hosting your beautiful daughter, Emily, on the Leading Ladies panel.
Absolutely. And I was very excited to meet you because, again, I really admire what you're doing to promote agents in the industry and leading with innovation and change. So it's just been such a wonderful connection that we've both formed together.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll talk a little bit about Emily in a moment, but first of all, I want to congratulate you on hitting elite status again. So great, amazing achievement.
Thank you very much.
Most Queenslanders know you because when I posted that I was interviewing Emily, there was a few people that sort of hit my Facebook and Instagram and said, oh, great agent and a lovely mum.
Oh, so lovely to hear that. I do have to say, I say to everyone, what is my greatest achievement in life? And for me, the number one achievement I say to everyone is having the wonderful gift to be a mother. And I feel incredibly grateful to have such an amazing young woman and very, very proud to see how she has done so well in life. You know, really creating her own destiny and having the courage to do it all on her own through hard work. So yes, very proud to see how far she's gone in the industry and superseded me too, because she's in the REB top 50 females in Australia. So yes, greatest achievement.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. So let's talk about how you got into real estate. So you were in media before real estate. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yes, well, I absolutely loved my media career. When I was at school, I had always dreamt about getting into journalism. I grew up in a very small country town, eldest of eight children. The thing that I was very passionate about when I was at school was speech and drama, going into Stedfords. So I sort of channeled a lot of effort into that and also English. And I was extremely fortunate to meet an amazing lady who was a poet and an author when I was very young and I was doing a Stedfords. And she changed my life when I was very young because she said to me, have you ever thought about becoming a journalist? And I said, what's a journalist? And I must have only been about 9 or 10 at the time. And she was a prominent journalist on ABC Radio. And she explained to me about journalism. And I thought, wow, that's really interesting. I love telling stories about people. I'm very interested in people. So that sort of set me on a path of journalism. And I was fortunate when I left school, they had cadetships back in the day. I didn't particularly like school, but I used to go and do work experience at the local paper. And I then was fortunate to get a cadetship in journalism. And I guess from a very early age, coming from a small country town, I really wanted to make something better of my life. So I took a lot of risks at a young age to move, to take opportunities, and ended up meeting my daughter's beautiful father, who's now no longer alive. And he had his own business. I met him through the media because he was actually my helicopter pilot. He was a Flying Scotsman. And we got married, had Emily, and I gave up my media career because it was very demanding and I had a young daughter. Unfortunately, we had some very unexpected challenges happen to us early on in our life. We put a lot of our money into property early on because we wanted to build a future for ourselves. And Graham couldn't work anymore, so I had to go and become the main breadwinner. And it was actually through that experience, it was a really terrible experience with real estate agents. Interest rates were going through the roof. We had investment properties that we needed to sell. My income couldn't replace my husband's income. So we actually lost everything. And just going through that experience, which was very traumatic, made me think, wow, I want to go into real estate one day because I want to give to my clients the level of service that I never received. So that's really how I went from media eventually into real estate.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, a lot of times on this podcast, I do ask agents if they remember their first sale, but I'm sort of guessing that you probably remember your first sale because it might have been one of your own portfolio.
Yes, that's right. So we lived in New South Wales. We had bought a property in Sydney in the eastern suburbs, and which I think is where Emily's got her passion to go back and sell in Sydney in the eastern suburbs. It was a really beautiful early, late 1800s Victorian cottage. We put our heart and soul into renovating it. Back in the day, there was the top agents would all advertise in the Wentworth Courier. So being very naive, we picked the agent that seemed to have the biggest ads and went for the one that talked a big game. And it was just a disaster. And we had other properties as well that we had at the time. And it was actually after going through three agents. And on the third agent, I said to the third agent, have you ever considered that if you look at the negatives that the people have about this property and perhaps use those as a positive, we could probably sell this property. So I actually wrote down all the positives and helped this agent to promote why someone should buy the property. And then lo and behold, 2 weeks later, it sold. And I thought, wow, I could probably do this myself. So that's sort of really what made me think about one day I would go into real estate. After, obviously, Emily had gone through primary school and I spent almost a decade working for Qantas, which was great. And then when Emily was in high school, I took the big leap of faith as a single mum, putting her through school on my own to go into real estate, which was pretty scary.
Yeah. What was that like at the time? And how did you use all of the experience that you'd gained both in media and from the experiences that you had with agents? How has that shaped your real estate mindset and approach?
Yeah, very good question. Well, I'm quite an analytical person, and I guess that comes from being a journalist. So I always look at worst case scenario and best case scenario. So at that stage, I was 40, and I thought to myself, if I don't do it now, I don't want to be sitting back in a decade's time at 50 going, gee, I wish I had have done this, because there were a couple of reasons why I wanted to do it. Number one, I felt a very strong calling through, I guess, sense of social justice, which is part, a little bit of journalism, media. And secondly, I did really believe that if I could make it in this career, rather than being in a corporate job, so I was in a great corporate world with Qantas, but I could also see the writing on the wall for Qantas at the time, ironically. And I thought, gee, if anything goes wrong here, I don't want to be stuck with nowhere to go, or I could easily be made redundant. So I need to take control of my own future. So yeah, I can see that if I really did make it in real estate, there was the potential of the harder I work, the luckier I get. And I really felt that it was a great way for me to have flexibility and financial security. So I took the leap of faith, and how did I feel? I always say to people, it took me a long time to make the decision. It was very scary. I actually did skydiving when I was 30 for my 30th birthday. And I remember when I was getting out of the plane to jump, they actually had to kick me out because I just was too fearful of jumping. And the minute I jumped out and pulled the chute and then went down in the parachute and landed safely, it was the most exhilarating feeling of my life. And I thought, all right, I'm just going to take the leap of faith like I did skydiving and trust that everything's going to work out. And it did.
Amazing. And I mean, look at you now. So it's a good thing that you did take the leap of faith. So I just want to touch on Emily again, because when I met Emily, you know, she said to me, I wasn't planning on being a real estate agent, but I followed my mum into the business. So talk to me about how, like, there's a lot of husbands and wives that work together in this business, and even there's some intergenerational firms as well, but you've got quite a heartwarming story about Emily joining the business and then leaving. So could you tell us that story?
Yes. Well, Emily never really enjoyed school, and I used to actually say to her all the time at school, darling, you don't have to be good at school to be successful in life. I really considered it my responsibility as a mother to encourage my daughter to learn about financial independence and also learn about making money for herself. So being a single mum, she went to a private school, and she'd come home and she'd go, oh, mum, you know, all my friends are getting sass and bide and da-da-da-da to go to the school dance and everything, and why won't you buy me this? And I said, darling, I'd love to. I said, but I'm paying a mortgage and I'm paying your school fees. If you want to get something in life, you're actually going to have to work for it. So as soon as she could, she got a little part-time job. And what she used to do as well when she finished school is she used to catch the bus to the office where I was working, and she'd come in and she'd sit there, and she just loved getting all the brochures ready, getting all the open home packs ready, doing all my administration, because I'm the first to say I'm not a great administrator. And she was fantastic. And my beautiful boss at the time, who I pay credit to and love and adore, honestly, one of the most wonderful, wonderful mentors I've ever had, was Nick Penkless. And he owned a small boutique agency, and he used to see Emily, and he used to say, can I employ her as soon as she finishes school? And I said, Nick, my daughter is independent. She's got her own mind. If you want to employ my daughter, you don't go through me. Have the conversation with Emily and interview her. And Nick did. She went through the formal interview process, and she got a job straight away when she left school. She got into uni, but she deferred uni, and she did marketing for Space, as well as continuing to help me with opens at the weekend and everything. And then I had an opportunity to come across to the Ray White Group, and I brought Emily with me as my EA. And, you know, I think it was my dream that we'd be a mother-daughter duo in business, but sometimes our dream are not our kids' dreams. And Emily turned around one day, because she'd go out and everyone would go, oh, my God, you're Christine Rudolph's daughter. And Emily said, Mum, I want to be my own person. And at 19, she came to me and she said, I'm going to move to Sydney and I'm going to work in real estate in Sydney. Now, of course, the selfish part of me was heartbroken, thinking, oh, I don't want my little girl to go. But, you know, I went, this is a great opportunity for her. I remember when I was young, I left home when I was 18. I kept moving to further myself in life, and you know one. So she's got that fearlessness about her. So I said, all right, darling, if you want to move to Sydney, you've got to have a plan. You've got to work out where you want to live, how much you need to earn, and who you want to work for. So she put an amazing resume together, put it out to the top agencies in the eastern suburbs, booked a plane flight, flew down, had four interviews lined up, had four jobs to choose from in that first day. She flew home and said, okay, Mum, I'm starting in a month. And she's never looked back. So she started as an EA, and she was also headhunted by someone very, very high profile who I would have loved her to take this position to be an executive EA for a big company. And she had the courage to turn around to this person and say, you know what, I'm really honored, but I'm going to back myself, because even though now I might be 20 and you might be offering me $150,000 to be your EA, I'm going to back myself, and I believe that I can earn more by going into sales. So she backed herself and ended up going from executive assistant to McLay Longhurst and became his sales associate, then elevated to co-agent, and obviously now is licensee of Sotheby's Woollahra, which under 30 for a 29-year-old, I'm extraordinarily proud of her.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a story to be truly proud of. And it's not just Emily, though. Like, you are a mentor to a number of young women, both that have been in your team and now also with Leading Ladies as well. So talk to me about what drew you into that and what your approach is with younger women in the real estate industry.
It's a very good question, because I'm actually just doing my newsletter today on the eve of Mother's Day. And something that really hits home to me is that the fastest growing group of homeless women in Australia is women over 55. And a lot of these women accidentally, they're highly educated women. They accidentally fall into this position, be it they've left the workforce, they've brought up their children, they've given up their careers, and then all of a sudden something happens. Either their husband loses his job and the family's faced with bankruptcy, the marriage ends through either death or divorce. And when I look at that, because I potentially could have been in that position myself, I lost everything, and I know what it's like to be so close to the wire, that I'm really passionate about teaching women to be financially responsible from a very early age. And, you know, I'm going to say that it was a man who actually gave me that lesson when I started work and turned 18. I had this wonderful man who was so kind. He was a financial advisor, and he told me about superannuation. And he said, all you got to do is put 10% of your $131 a week away, is what I was earning as a cadet journalist, into a superannuation fund. And he gave me the book, The Richest Man of Babylon. And I read it and I thought, oh, that really appeals to me. So the reason why I'm very passionate about encouraging younger women to really think about money and learn about money and have financial goals is that there's such a bigger head start now for this generation to create wealth. And there's so much more awareness around wealth creation for women than there was when I was younger. When I was younger, you know, you just didn't talk about money. So now with the Leading Ladies and young women, I really want to say to them, believe in yourself. All you got to do is believe that you can be better. And even in the Leading Ladies is so wonderful. I've taken over the International Women's Day events for the Ray White Collective, which is an extension of our national Leading Ladies initiative. And I'm very grateful, thanks to Sally Patch, to be one of the ambassadors and on the founding forum for it. And I've had two young women this week come to me and say, you've got no idea how much you have really inspired me, particularly because I tell everyone the story of Emily as well, to actually break out of being an EA and go and have a crack to become a sales associate. And they're moving on to the next opportunities in their career. And I've said to them, you can do it. You just got to back yourself. You've got to have the confidence. That's all it comes down to, the confidence and the drive.
Yeah, absolutely. So when other people look at you, I mean, I think you're amazing because I know your story and things like that. But what would you say have been the key core values to you in your own success over the last 10 years?
Definitely resilience. To survive in real estate, you've really got to be resilient. It is a really unpredictable industry. I think you put a funny little meme up the other night that I just loved, actually. It was the one with Nicole Kidman. I think that really sums our life up. You know, it's an industry that's a very unpredictable industry. And for me, I have to really focus on being true to my values, operating with integrity and ethics. I'm very honest with my clients. You know, a lot of my clients, they have been with me for the long journey. So I'm not a transactional agent that's just in to hook a listing and get people sold. I actually am there to go probably more. My late father was a doctor, and I sort of think I'm probably more like treat this like, okay, let's diagnose what's going on here and let's look at the best options for you. So we can have option A and it's going to bring this outcome. We can have option B and it's going to bring this outcome. And we can have option C and it's going to bring this outcome. I want you to sit down and think about what option sits best with you, because we're in this with a collaborative approach. So I'm extremely committed to my clients. I actually say to people, you've got me. I'm married to my job. And I am available to you 24/7. I had some clients last year who were so stressed and they had a really big property on the market, and I booked a holiday to go to Bali and they wanted this property sold. And I said, look, I really do mean this. Would you like me to cancel my trip? Because I know you want me to take people through your property over the Christmas New Year break. I can't physically do it, but if you want me to, I'm happy to do it. And they said, no, we don't. I had some other clients recently. We didn't sell their property and it was over the Easter weekend, and I knew it was really important to them. And I said to them, okay, we're coming to the deadline. The probabilities of us selling at the moment are 50-50. I just want you to know I'm committed to you, and I'm actually going to be working all over the Easter weekend, because this is the prime time now for us to go through all of those buyers and to get them back on board and see if we can get the deal done in the next week. So I'm actually going to be here all over the long weekend. I won't be going away for Easter because I'm committed to you. And they went, oh my God, are you really going to do that? Yes, I am. And do you know what? We got that property sold a week later. And what that built, because I was committed to them, and they knew they were getting me. I don't send my juniors in to do the inspections. I don't send my juniors in to do the negotiations. I really want to get every last cent for my clients. And when we got that contract on the table, they knew that we'd done everything. I was on the phone to them all day, Good Friday, saying, I've just gone back to this buyer and they've said this, da 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 da. They got sick of hearing from me, because every hour of the hour I was ringing them on Good Friday and they would say, Christine, please go and have a rest. We don't want to hear from you till tomorrow afternoon. But you know what? That's how committed I am to my clients. Communication, commitment, care, honesty, truth. They're the things that are really important to me. And the big one, evidence of effort.
Yeah, that's really important. And I think you've just reminded me of something that Matt LaHood said to me on a podcast a couple of months ago, is that we were talking about the sale of my home, which didn't go so well. And he said to me, when you're selling, was that the most important thing going on in your life? And I said, yeah, of course. And I suppose that's how every vendor feels. And that's probably why your vendors feel like you've got them, like you've got their backs.
I think it's really important to listen to what your clients want. It's not about you dictating how you think they should sell their property, but listening to what and how they want to sell their property. So yes, I work for a big international brand, and I work for that brand because I love the Ray White. I love the White family. Brian White in particular, Brian and Rosie, I used to deal with them back in my days when I worked with Qantas. And I genuinely know that Brian White treats and values his staff, his top employees, and so does Dan. So I feel very aligned with being part of a family business, which is really important to me. That's a big brand, and that really does bring the benefits to the clients. The second layer of that is a lot of my clients go, oh, well, you're not going to just tell me I've got to auction my property, are you? No, I'm not. We're going to sit down and we're going to talk about what's important to you. We're going to try this first, then we're going to do this, and then we're going to do that. So we go through a collaborative approach. And when my client's property goes to the market, I know that they have full confidence that it's going to sell. And it just excites me so much. You know, I have a property that I sold last week to the most divine couple, and I got them an 80% return on their investment that they'd held for 5 years. And we discussed the method of sale for that, and they didn't want to go to auction. So I gave them another strategy, which absolutely worked 100% because they felt comfortable with it. And when they feel comfortable with it, I know that we're aligned. We don't have any tension between us with a strategy that's not going to work and they're going to doubt it. So they're ecstatic because that property was held in their super. And that's life-changing for those people. That's an 80% uplift in their super fund in 5 years. And I tell you what, that's better than what my super fund's been doing.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing that it feels like in talking to you as well is that we're in a bit of a weird cycle at the moment where we've had interest rates go up and we've had a few holds, but now there's murmurs of interest rates going up again and we've had homeowners get wobbly and some are in there for the long haul and all the rest of it. And you personally have been through all of this. So
100%.
What trends are you observing in your market right now? And how do you then adapt your strategies to align with those trends?
That's a good question. I think I'll definitely say in Brisbane, we're probably in quite a fortunate position because there is a stock shortage. And we're definitely seeing units going through the roof because construction has stopped here. And we've got a lot of people wanting to get units. Yes, people are, I guess, concerned about the interest rate rises, but I would still say that we're not seeing the same sort of uncertainty that we were towards the end of last year when the rates really started going up. We didn't see buyer sentiment really changed last year, and it did have the impact of slowing the economy down and people were a little bit hesitant to go on the market and people were hesitant to buy. I think at the moment, while the rates are being held, what I am probably seeing changing more than anything is not so much in real estate, but more so a change of discretionary spending. So people want to hold on to their homes because I think where they're excited in Brisbane at the moment is that in 10 years' time, we're going to have the Olympics. We've got a lot of growth in Brisbane and people are very, very confident in the long-term projection on their property and they're really confident of buying. So I guess when buyers come to me and they're a little bit nervous about what if the interest rates go up, I sort of go, well, look, you know what? That's the cycle of life. And compared to where interest rates were in 2009, as you and I would know, they were around that 9% mark. They're still historically very, very low. And the good thing is that your capital growth on your property is going to outstrip your interest rates anyway. So I guess you've just got to look at this as a long-term proposition rather than be fearful about interest rates rising. Because if you're going to be fearful about interest rates rising, you're actually going to miss the opportunity and wish that you had bought that property. So that's really my main message to buyers at the moment who are a little bit nervous about interest rates.
Yeah. And what about vendors? What if someone sort of comes to you and says, I don't know if I should sell the mortgage?
Yeah, look, I guess at the moment, the thing that I do say to sellers, because we have got a shortage of stock in Brisbane, is it is actually a fantastic time to be selling. It really, really is. You know, I've just been on the phone to a client of mine today and he had me over to his property a couple of weeks ago talking about spending money on a renovation and, again, worried about interest rates, but was it worth spending the money on a renovation? And I said, absolutely, 100%. Most people are time poor. If you can do the reno, if you can have the property looking beautiful, you're going to easily get 100% return on that investment. Anyway, I just happened to have someone who's missed out on another property with me ring me today, who wants a property exactly like his. So I rang this guy up and I said, and thankfully he knows that I'm not a hustler. He knows I've got integrity because I've actually advised his whole family on property without expectation. When you're providing service and value and giving the family advice right through to what are we going to do about mum and dad? Should we get them into a retirement home? You know, I put hours into their family affairs. I said to him, look, just ringing you. You know, I'm not hassling you for a listing. I'm sure you get called every week. I've got this buyer. Here's the profile. They'll pay this. Is it worth running them through tomorrow? He said, Christine, only because it's you, we will open up the property. And I guess that to me makes me so happy. I could tell you countless stories of clients of mine who'll just ring and they'll say, we're looking at buying this. Should we buy it? They're not going to buy through me. And even if I can't sell it to them or they miss out on that property, I'll say, ring this agent. They're amazing. Ring that agent. They're amazing. They will get you exactly the property you want. So I do really like to have a collaborative and a good relationship with the majority of agents as well, because there's plenty to go around for everyone.
Yeah, at the end of the day, absolutely. So another question that I often ask agents is, what's your favorite sale been in your career and why?
That's a really tough question.
Yeah, I know. It's like picking which one of your children is your favorite.
That's exactly right. Actually, you know, it is a good question. This was probably one of the smallest transactions I've ever done, but I tell you why it was so meaningful to me. It was life-changing. So I recently had some clients and they're in their 80s and it's such an overwhelming and daunting time of life. And I know this because my mum is 81. And my dad died many years ago at 66 and we had to sell up the family farm. And I wasn't in real estate then, but that was another reason why I thought I'm going to go into real estate, because when you've had a death in the family or someone suddenly put into a nursing home or had a stroke, you're in a really vulnerable position. So this family contacted me and something very unexpected had happened, and the partner had to go into aged care very quickly, a highly intelligent woman who was unable to make decisions, and her partner was the power of attorney. And they had a very small time frame to come up with the money to secure, she was in care, but to secure the position, they had to come up with money in a very short time frame. So I happened to know the right lawyers who could help with the power of attorney. And I knew the right people to be able to give them support beyond what I could do, because you need proper legal advice in these situations. And I managed to get one of their investment properties sold, which they'd had for a long time, for an incredible price off market. It had a long-term tenant in it. It was actually every wish that they'd ever hoped for. They didn't want the tenant to be homeless, because he was a beautiful guy and they were worried about that. And, you know, the stars aligned and I actually sold that property to an investor who just wanted to have a little pad, wanted to have a tenant in it, didn't even need to go through the property, just said, tell me what I need to pay, paid what I asked for, cash unconditional contract, money was in the bank in 30 days. Now, for that family, that has been life-changing. So yeah, I guess that to me would be a really wonderful and happy sale, because at that age of life where you don't have the potential to go out and earn money anymore and every single cent is critical for your retirement and your future and your safety and security, that's what makes this job worthwhile to me.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I love hearing stories like that where everything comes together exactly as you want it.
Yes. I mean, you know, it's beautiful. I'm very fortunate to sell very glamorous properties on the river, magnificent. And all of those sales I love, because quite often my buyers and my sellers end up meeting, because I create such goodwill between the buyers and sellers before the settlement's already finished. They go, oh, your sellers sound like the most lovely people. We want to meet them. And then I say, oh, the buyers really want to meet you. You know, are you happy about that? Oh, we'd love to. And they just meet and they walk around the property together, and the sellers are so proud about what they've created, and they're so happy that the buyers are going to be taking good care of their prized and cherished asset. So I think creating those really beautiful relationships and really bringing a good conclusion for everyone is something that I really aim for with every transaction.
Yeah, amazing. And so what's next for Christine? Like, what are your goals for the next year and moving forward?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. I actually, from my personal goals, I have a little workers' cottage. I was going to renovate that pre-COVID, but like a lot of people with construction costs going up through the roof, I sort of put that on hold. Probably like a lot of property owners and go, well, it is what it is now. You just have to accept that that's the way it is. But I'm very fortunate that I own a property and my equity's gone up. So I'm going to do a little bit of work on my own property, which is exciting. Continue to really be dedicated. My passion project is that you and I spoke about the other day, is I have my own little podcast that I've started, which is really about telling the stories of some incredible women and their journeys in real estate. One that's about to drop about an amazing lady who started in her 60s. So I really want to do that to be able to inspire and give back to women. And I guess within my own business, I think this is a really wonderful opportunity now. I see this for my next decade as really being able to focus on adding a lot of value to my clients. A lot of clients are my own age, so they're empty nesters, they're downsizing. We really connect because I understand their journey, because I've already been there. So I'm really looking forward to growing my business and growing the team and scaling the business so that we can be of service to more people.
Yeah, amazing. Well, Christine, I've really enjoyed our chat again today. I think you're an agent with an incredible empathy for your clients, and it's super, super, super special. So I wanted to thank you for sharing that with us today. And one final question I always ask everyone on this podcast is, if there is one thing or one piece of advice you'd like to leave everyone with, what would it be?
If you are thinking about taking that leap, I would really encourage you to believe in yourself and have the confidence to take the leap, because there's only two things that hold people back from achieving what they really want to achieve. One of them is fear. So if you can conquer your fear, you're on your way. And the second one is, I don't feel worthy of doing it. So I really believe that you've got to look at yourself and think, well, if I want to do something, what's holding me back? Is it fear, or is it because I don't believe in myself? I don't believe I'm worthy of that. And I just want to say to everyone that you really can get out there and do it. You've just got to believe in yourself, and you have to face your fears, and you've got to be resilient. So that's the advice that I would really love to encourage everyone to give it their best shot.
Yeah, that's great advice and beautiful words. Christine Rudolph, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sam. Really appreciate your time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Elevate Podcast, with thanks to Connect Now. To stay in touch with all things Elite Agent, sign up for our daily newsletter, The Brief, at eliteagent.com/subscribe.